Beams of light ripple and shimmer. Letters moving between them resolve into the logo Studio Canal in white on black. A white horse gallops in front of a twilight sky. The horse grows wings. Shafts of starlight collide and resolve into the logo TriStar Pictures in a triangle below the winged horse in white outline on black. A point of light traces sweeping blue curves which form a sea like a labyrinth. The logo becomes metallic and three-dimensional above the name Carolco. In Cyrillic style lettering, Mario Casar and Andrew Vina present a Carolco Lone Wolf Oak production. A view of Russian style onion domes and wintry trees. A Walter Hill film. A man shovels coal into a blazing furnace. A man covered in coal dust wears a vest and is heavily muscled. Another man approaches with neat blonde hair and a towel around his neck. He also wears a vest. He walks off toward a steamy gym where big, heavily muscled men are working out with weights. There's also a plunge pool. The blonde man looks around at the bulging muscles of the men lifting weights and toward naked women standing beneath a fountain at the end of the pool. A man does bicep curls, making his arms bulge powerfully. There are now more naked women around the fountain. The blonde man's blue eyes shift towards swirling clouds of steam. A man with a physique of pure sculpted muscle mounts steps and goes through a doorway beyond the pool. The man, whose body could be hewn from rock, has grimly chiseled features to match and spiked up dark hair. His steely gaze roves over naked men and women in a steam room. A man and woman whisper to each other, and the huge man's icy stare moves to a man in glasses and some others, all equally muscled, who return his stare. The big man approaches the muscle-bound group. His eyes bore into a man with shoulder-length hair and Mongol features, who takes the big man's hand. Another guy uses tongs to pick up a hot sauna stone. This is not a foundry worker's hand. If you worked at the foundry, you would be used to the heat. The stone is dropped in the big man's hand, and his fingers close around it. He grips it, sweating, but without flinching. He punches the guy with the shoulder-length hair out of a window, then lands crunching blows on another. Grabs the guy, and they both tumble out of the window into the snow. The big Asian charges, is lifted up, dumped on his back, and kicked. The other man, even bigger than the big man, attacks, landing hammer blows to the kidneys, then the face. The big man goes down, then rises, blocks a punch, then goes on the attack, landing blow after blow, then grabbing his adversary's cheek as he kneels in the snow. I want Rosta, Victor Rosta. He left. Where? He's at the Druzhba Cafe. The big man knocks out his adversary. Against a frozen view of Moscow's Red Square, Arnold Schwarzenegger, James Belushi, a statue of Lenin. A one-legged man walks with crutches toward Red Square, along with other people in overcoats and fur hats. Red heat. Peter Boyle, Edo Ross. A gun rests on a copy of the newspaper Pravda. Larry Fishburne, Gina Gershon. A hand picks up a newspaper and slides it into the bottom of a birdcage. Richard Bright, Brent Jennings, Savely Krumeroff, Gene Scherer, Pruitt Taylor Vince. The bird owner is the big man. Soldiers march in tight formation in long boots and greatcoats. Casting by Jackie Birch. Music composed by James Horner. Edited by Freeman Davies, Carmel Davies, Don Aaron. A heroic statue of a man with a hammer and a woman with a sickle. Production designer John Vallone. People Cross Red Square. Director of Photography, Matthew F. Leonetti, ASC. A view of the turrets of St. Basil's Basilica on Red Square. Associate producer, Mae Woods. The soldiers continue to march. Executive producers, Mario Casar and Andrew Vina. Traffic drives along the river outside the Kremlin walls. Story by Walter Hill. Screenplay by Harry Kleiner and Walter Hill and Troy Kennedy Martin. Produced by Walter Hill and Gordon Carroll. The soldiers now slow march, led by an officer with his saber drawn. A granite statue of Karl Marx, partially dusted with snow. Directed by Walter Hill. A police car stops at the bottom of snow-covered steps. Uniformed officers run down. The big man in uniform is with the blonde man from the bathhouse. It's all getting harder. 10 years ago, no drugs. Now we have a problem. Another 10 years, maybe we are Harlem. It won't happen. You're wrong. Do you know your new nickname? They used to call you Iron Jaw, but after today, they call you Roundhead. Of course, I'm circumcised myself. The big man eyes his colleague coldly, and they get out of the car. How's the cold? Horrible. Did your mother teach you a home remedy? Try holding a hot rock in your hand. You go in the front. I'll wait out back. I will also make sure our troops are properly positioned, right? Let's go get them. A big guy with a beard is at the piano, watched by the patrons of a smoky cafe as the big man walks in. He glances grimly at the customers and walks slowly past the people sitting along the bar. The big man stares at a barman in an apron. Steam rises from pots and a samovar in the kitchen area. The customers stare sullenly at the big policeman. There's the remains of a pig's head on the counter. A waiter speaks to the big man. Everything all right? There was no problem? The big man scans faces. Then his gaze falls on a group seated round a table. They stare at each other. One dark-haired man's expression is full of hate. The big man approaches the table. The big man produces his badge. Let's go. All of you. The dark-haired guy stands up. Why is it you always pick on us Georgians? After all, we're only country folk. We don't know the ways of the big city. Perhaps that's why we're such an easy target. Another stands. What is this country coming to? This is like the old days. We are innocent of any crimes. Fuck your mother. Another man. Where is your evidence? The dark-haired man pulls on his coat. And the big man approaches the last speaker. He slugs him across the jaw, then throws him down some steps. He walks up to the guy and grabs his ankle. The big man wrenches the guy's leg, and it comes off. It's prosthetic. He reaches inside, pulls out a plug, and tips out white powder. Cocaine. He throws the leg toward the group. The dark-haired guy shouts, "Yegor!" and runs. The dark-haired guy throws a customer aside, and one of his gang fires. The big man shoots him down. He pistol whips another guy, then ducks behind a stone column as the dark-haired guy opens fire, then runs off. One of the gang runs up a spiral staircase and shoots a policeman coming down. The gangster runs outside and gets shot in the leg by the blonde policeman. More police approach the back entrance. The dark-haired guy shoots a cop and keeps running. The guy with the leg wound also hobbles away. The dark-haired ringleader climbs up onto a roof and shoots another officer. He clambers over rooftops, shoots from behind a chimney, then runs off. The big man runs up the spiral stairs. The blonde officer shouts to his big friend, "I got him in the leg. I'll follow the other one." The big man goes after the gangster with the leg wound. The blonde officer shadows the guy moving along the roof. The guy with the leg wound goes down stone steps and stops, confronted by a load of cops. He turns, but the big man is at the top of the steps. The gangster shouts defiantly, but the big man shoots him and he tumbles down the steps. The blonde cop continues to stalk the ringleader. He hides behind a wall as the gangster jumps off a roof and runs off, glancing over his shoulder. "Stop! Hold it! Drop the pistol! Hands up! Now!" He unbuttons his greatcoat. Handcuffs would be a good idea. He's shot with a spring-loaded pistol that pops out of the gangster's coat sleeve. The dark-haired gangster walks past the body, the blue eyes wide and staring. The gangster runs off. A group are gathered for the funeral by a small chapel with a tall tower. The big man is watching at a distance from steps leading down to the cemetery. An officer in uniform salutes as another plays the fanfare. The coffin is open. A blonde-haired officer is laid out in full uniform. A senior officer arrives, walks along a stone hallway, and joins the big man. The two officers exchange a solemn look. Our informants tell us Victor has fled the country with two other criminals, Josip Baroda and Pyotr Tatamovich. We will find him. We will make him pay for his crime against the people. The view moves up to the misty chapel, towering over the cemetery. In the United States, near a Levi's store, a young blonde guy looks out of a car. Another guy with a mustache and piercing gaze looks out from the seat behind. Dark-haired gangster Victor crosses a busy street to a phone booth and makes a call. The phone rings in another booth. And a shaven-headed guy picks up.
Abdul Elijah says we're in business. You get the capital in a safe place as previously discussed. Dig? Meet me back here at 3 o'clock. You bring me a key. We go check the color of your green. Your shipment's on its way. I believe you have something. A small item for me. I'm supposed to give you a courier, right? Bless Abdul Elijah and the Brotherhood. Nice doing business with you, comrade.
Victor tears a banknote in half and sticks one half in a gap in the phone booth. The guy he spoke to puts on a beret and takes the torn half. He was in the next booth. He gets into an SUV. Victor watches the vehicle drive away, then crosses the street back to his waiting accomplices watching from the car. We're in business. Victor grins. Hookers work a street corner.
Oh, attention. Fun bag patrol. Double bogeys, 11 o'clock. Christ. You think she bought those? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think those are homegrown. Yeah, those are definitely homegrown.
Art.
Just an opinion.
The younger, bespectacled cop gets out of the car.
Guy's gotta be dead not to notice those.
What's the matter with you, Art?
Man, I got needs.
Christ sakes, what a job. Come on.
We ought to arrest her.
With a last look, Art gets out of the car and follows his partners. They go upstairs in a rundown building.
So what'd you squeeze him with?
Caught him packing on parole. Gave him a choice, whisper in my ear, or I turn him into Miss Joliet for the next 3 to 5.
He tipped you to a big clean head deal?
Oh, man, don't tell me we're popping at clean heads here. I hate the goddamn clean heads.
Are you this close to losing your job?
Can you just give us a second, Charlie?
Yeah, right.
Intense Charlie backs off.
You're not helping yourself here, Art. This is a good tip. I got it from my guy, Streak.
All right. Come on, let's go.
Charlie approaches an apartment door, his revolver in his hand. He beckons to his partners. In the apartment, a shaven clean head is measuring out cocaine. There's an assortment of guns, cash, and drug-dealing paraphernalia strewn throughout the apartment.
Oh, you memorized the
follow
shit.
Me. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used.
You ain't got a damn thing.
Art kicks open a door, then ducks back. A clean head blasts the door with a shotgun, then runs.
Upside stairwell!
Art goes one way, the other two follow the escaping gunman who runs upstairs. Charlie ducks back as the clean head turns and fires. The clean head runs out onto a fire escape. Art rushes downstairs. The clean head fires up the fire escape. Art shoves his revolver in the guy's ear.
Freeze, motherfucker!
Don't get nervous.
Give it.
I do this for a living. Come on. You look like Marvin Hagler to me.
I lost money on Hagler!
Victor is in a phone booth. He has a key in his hand and checks his watch.
There, man. You're not even using the goddamn phone.
Victor glares at the guy and walks away. He gets into a car on a sunny street. He drives straight through a red light. A teleprinter types out a message in Russian, but in Roman script. People pass through a room which is full of such machines. Within the Russian message, the machine types out, Washington. A uniformed officer watches the machine type out the words, Victor Rosta. followed by Chicago. He tears off the paper and walks away, reading the message. He hurries up a staircase with marble columns. An officer is on the phone as he's given the message. Yes, top priority. I'm expecting confirmation. We'll take extreme precaution. Take this to Colonel Kulikov immediately. Then send for Captain Danko. He is to report as soon as possible. Good news, comrade?
America.
America, da. Chicago. Gangster.
The messenger snaps his heels smartly, turns, and leaves. Big man Danko is with his commanding officer. You are being given a great responsibility, Captain. Victor has been arrested for a minor offense. His two accomplices are still at large. Victor was organizing a huge cocaine shipment from America. Our informants say $5 million worth. Bring Victor home. Bring him home. But don't tell the Americans. I repeat, tell the Americans nothing. Do not discuss our problems. Bring Victor to us. We will avenge Yuri. And protect ourselves from the poison of the West. Danko replies, trust me. A transworld plane lands at night. Art is waiting, eating popcorn.
How you doing, honey?
Blow yourself.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good thinking.
Should be out any second. He's going through customs right now.
You read the report, stops running a clean head bust?
Yeah. He said your performance was adequate.
Adequate. Jesus Christ, what a jerk.
It's a personality thing, Art.
Yeah.
Stubbs just doesn't like yours.
Danko arrives in full uniform.
10-1, he doesn't speak English.
Art's partner approaches the big Russian.
Captain Danko?
Yes.
I'm Detective Sergeant Gallagher, Chicago Police Department. Glad to meet you.
Thank you.
Oh, this is my partner, Detective Sergeant Ritzik. First time in Chicago?
Yes.
You have a nice flight?
Yes, fine.
You hungry?
No.
Thirsty?
No.
I hate to break up this romance, but I'm parked in a red zone. No offense.
We got a car waiting outside, please. Yeah, about a half-hour drive to the city. It's a nice drive. Go enjoy it. Nice night. Been real hot lately. Nothing hotter than Chicago in August. It's the humidity that gets to you.
Humidity, you know. Moisture in the air.
Danko glances coldly at Art.
How's it been in Moscow?
Hot. No moisture.
Where'd you learn to speak English so well?
Army. Compulsory training. Language school in Kiev.
Oh, yeah. It's like as in chicken Kiev. Yeah, we had that at my sister's wedding. This Victor Rasta, he must have pissed off quite a few commissars for them to send someone all this way just to babysit him home. What did he do? Take a leak on the Kremlin wall or something?
Danko shoots Art another frosty look.
I gotta apologize for my partner, Captain. You see, he's just naturally suspicious of...
Did you arrest Victor?
Me? No. It was a couple of our patrolmen.
They are.
Right near his hotel, actually, the Garvin.
Yeah, it's a breeding ground for pushers, pimps, prostitutes. You don't want to even...
Take me there.
Well, we got you booked at the executive house.
Please. Garvin.
They pull up beside the neon lights of a rundown hotel beside an L-train line.
You sure you want to stay here? I mean, it's a pitch. You have a choice.
I stay here.
If you're on a budget, I can talk to my department.
Thank you. I will be fine.
Okay. You're the boss.
I'll pick you up around 9 o'clock in the morning, okay?
Hey, nice talking to you, Captain.
Danko enters the hotel without looking back. Gallagher gets back in the car.
What do you think, Art?
I think he's a jerk.
Danko walks through the smoky lounge to the reception desk.
Danko,
you're welcome.
Danko stares expressionlessly at the greasy-haired clerk.
Put your name in the big book right there.
You had a man here called Rasta. Victor Rasta.
A Russian?
Soviet. I'm on the same room.
Are you Russian too?
A cockroach crawls across the register. Danko crushes it with his hand.
It's nice going. It's 302. Right up the stairs.
Danko enters the darkened room and switches on the light. His icy gaze roves around the shabby room. Danko switches on the TV and puts a coin in the slot. A porno comes on. Danko watches with a frown.
Capitalism.
He walks toward the window and looks out through the blinds. Lights flicker as a train passes by. Daytime, and Gallagher escorts Danko upstairs to the police station.
This is our booking area. Looks like a major crime wave just hit, right? When I first walked in here when they assigned me to this district, I thought all hell had broken loose. Nope. It was just a typical Monday morning.
Is that a Russian cop uniform? Looks like a glorified postman or something out of World War II.
Be respectful to our guest, Audrey.
Yes, sir.
Not king. Checkmate in two moves. Use Bishop to Queen 4.
Thanks for your advice, comrade, but I think I got it covered.
This way, Captain.
The chief's office.
Captain Danko, Moscow Militia. This is Commander Donnelly, chief of this district.
Thanks, Tom. The captain will be with you in a minute.
Balding Donnelly goes to his desk and picks up a document.
This is an extradition order. All it requires is your signature. He ran a red light, didn't have a valid driver's license. The arresting officer found a handgun in his glove box, brought him in.
We shook him down. Then he refused to speak English.
When we found the Cyrillic writing tattooed across his shoulders, we figured out he was one of yours.
Victor did not ask for political asylum?
I think he's resigned to going home. Audrey, go get Sergeant Ridzik, will you?
Right.
Curly-haired Audrey goes out into the open-plan office. Danko looks at Donnelly's fish in a large aquarium.
Stress management. You watch the fishes.
You water the plants. Special breathing exercises. Monitor your blood pressure. Listen to pleasant sounds. Relax. Personally, I think it may all be a pile of shit. But when you're facing a bypass, you stop asking questions. Look, just out of curiosity, and since I figure cops are cops the world over, how do you Soviets deal with all the tension and stress?
Vodka.
Donnelly frowns. Art comes in.
Yes, sir. Art, I want you to ride with Gallagher and the captain here to the city jail. Make sure he signs this form before he and Gallagher go to the airport. Then bring the top copy back here.
Well, you're probably going to want
to... Just bring the top form back to me. That'll make it official. So long, Captain. Nice doing business with you. Gallagher!
Go!
Taxi service!
Right!
Danko and a guard walk past cells at the prison. Victor looks up as they approach. Danko goes in.
Stavaya.
Stand up. Danko cuffs himself to Victor. I'm taking you home.
Smart.
Eat shit. Danko slams Victor against the bars.
Tell their old buddies. That body language is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
We are ready.
Yes, sir.
Art and Gallagher follow Danko, Victor, and the guard. A key, cash, and a watch, and a box of Cracker Jacks are dropped on a table. Danko examines the Cracker Jacks and sniffs the box, then picks up the key. What is this key to? Kiss my ass.
Do you know what this key opened?
Looks like a key to a locker to me. Why don't you ask your bud?
You try.
Art approaches Victor and looks him straight in the eye.
Where is the locker that this key opens? What do you say?
He say, go and kiss your mother's behind.
As Gallagher laughs, Art lunges at Victor.
Stupid motherfucker!
Take it easy!
All right, I'm fine!
For God's sake, sir,
I'm fine!
That white shit.
Shit,
take
I'm
it
fine.
Easy!
All right.
Take it easy.
I'm fine! It happens all the time. Every day someone tells me to go fuck my mother's ass. You see my mother's ass? No, I haven't seen your mother's ass. You want to come in too.
A guard opens another gate. Art, Gallagher, Danko, and Victor pass through. Danko marches Victor down a flight of stairs.
You should have said that about my mother.
We care what he says about anything. It's not your case, Art. It's not my case. It's not even an American case.
All right.
We're just an escort service here. Jesus, pull back on your emotions.
Yeah, when you heard what he said, how can I let that pass?
You're gonna find a middle ground, Art.
This way, clown.
An armored truck with the logo of Davis Bancorp drives down a daytime street, then pulls over.
All right, I'm out of here. Look, Captain, you have a good flight back, all right? And if you get a chance to flush this giant turd down the toilet, do it over the pole. Oh, by the way, you're right about that chest move. I was dead in two.
It was obvious.
Armed guards take bags out of the back of the truck.
Give Ritzik, Captain. He's been having a hard time lately. Put himself in the jam.
I try to forget Ritzik.
The guards enter a building. Art goes to a newsstand.
Hey, Bernie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, give me a sun ties and a racing action tip sheet.
Yes, sir. You got a winner?
The guards are in the same lobby as Danko and Victor. They brush past them, then club Danko and Gallagher unconscious. Gallagher goes for his gun, and one of the fake guards shoots him. Art draws his weapon. Victor finds the key, but Danko knocks it out of his hand.
Come on, man! Let's go!
Move it!
Victor punches Danko. Art shoots down one of the guards, but has to duck around a corner as the others return fire. He steps out to shoot, but the guards and Victor have gone. Victor's blonde accomplice skids to a halt on the street. Victor and the fake guards pile into the car, which causes chaos as it speeds across an intersection. Art sprints out onto the street. Art takes aim, but the big station wagon swerves through traffic. Danko crawls toward the locker key. Danko grabs the key, then passes out. X-rays of a skull.
Well, how's he doing, Doctor?
It's still a little early. There's no fracture, but Captain Danko does have a concussion.
Well, we're going to need him to make a full statement.
Well, I don't think you should plan on getting much out of him today.
Thank you very much.
The fake guard, Artshot, is wheeled on a gurney to an operating room. Charlie watches through the window and is joined by Art.
Gallagher didn't even get a shot off. I think it was the cleanheads who did it.
Yeah, well, that's possible. They all walked yesterday morning, illegal warrant.
Even the guy with the shotgun?
You bet. Walked right out the door with a great big handshake from the judge.
Shit.
Get a load of this. This guy you nailed in here?
Yeah.
According to his ID, he's another Russian. Can you believe that?
Comrade Captain Danko, this is Comrade Consul Stepanovich. I am Mazursky, your liaison officer. We're here from Washington. We took the first flight when we heard the news. We need to know what happened. Moscow must get a full report when we return to Washington. There's nothing to report. Your attitude is disappointing. He got away. Get the details from the Americans. They asked too many questions. It could be an embarrassment. Rasta escaped because of your stupidity. Rasta will finish the rest of his deal and send the American poison home through his Georgian network. We are humiliated before the world. You failed. Report whatever you want. I've already called internal affairs. Take the first plane to Moscow when you leave the hospital. Your superiors want to see you the moment you land. The two officials leave. Danko opens his hand, revealing the locker key.
I'm sorry, but the police department would have to bear with us, Lieutenant. Captain Danko should remain incommunicado.
Well, the Russians got a chance to talk to him. Why was that okay?
They were the closest thing to family, and they didn't intend to interrogate him.
Art appears in the doorway as Danko loads a gun.
How did you get that piece through customs?
Diplomatic immunity.
Great. That restores my faith in airport security. You're not supposed to have that gun, Danko. I'll tell you what, though. You tell me what the hell's going on with Victor, and I'll let you keep the peace.
Take it.
Oh, come on, give me a break with this shit, huh? Maybe this Russian bully stuff works on a chessboard, but not here. What, do you retire your uniform?
I now work undercover.
Undercover? You look like Gumby. Yeah, you're gonna fit right in. For your information, Captain, I bagged one of your Russians. Unfortunately, he's not dead. He's in the intensive care unit. When he comes to, maybe you should talk to him.
How long before this happens?
What is it, 60 minutes? Do I look like a doctor to you?
Other things first.
Danko goes to leave.
Hey, Gumby. Hey. Hey, come here. Where the hell do you think you're going?
All right, lighten up.
I got it. Thanks.
What are you doing out of bed?
He thinks he's going to find Victor.
Oh, that's cute. Look, you better keep an eye on him.
Why me?
Because I said so. Look, he's a material witness. I'm going to talk to Donnelly. Maybe he can figure out what to do with him.
How come I get all the shit jobs?
It fits you, Rizik.
Yeah.
You come with me? Yes.
Well, you heard I just got my orders.
Take me to the same hotel.
What, do I look like a fucking cab to you?
Yes.
Danko plays chess on Art's desk.
Jesse, can I have the file?
All right, all I did was take him back to the hotel. He went in, came out 10 minutes later. You know, I don't know what the hell to do with him, so I brought him back here.
Okay, good. Look, about your involvement in this thing. You know the standard procedure. If you're a witness to a murder, you can no longer be an active participant in the ensuing investigation.
Yeah, but I think this is going to be
Okay, I know. I'm not taking you off the case. You and Gallagher were friends. I'll fit you in somehow. Send in Danko.
As Art leaves, Charlie comes in.
The two Russian suits that showed up out at the hospital. They want Danko, want him in a big way, so I told him that we'd put him on a plane as soon as possible.
Danko walks in.
Please be seated, Captain. You've met Lieutenant Stobbs. Stobbs is the point man in this investigation.
We met. I'd like to run this by you, Captain. Victor Rasta, full name Victor Sedgevich Rastavili, born September 4th, 1944, Georgia, Russia. His father had the distinction of being tried and hanged by the USSR for the crime of brigandage. Brigandage?
Burning villages, raping women.
That sort of thing goes on in Russia, huh?
In past, during war. Not now.
Mm-hmm. According to you. According to this, Victor spent 3 years in the army and 6 on a forced labor camp for drug offenses. Is currently wanted in the USSR on the charges of murder, kidnapping, rape, extortion, currency speculation, and drug dealing.
Where did you get this information?
Well, your boys in Washington have decided to be incredibly cooperative since Victor split. In fact, they got a whole new attitude. I hear they're sending over some caviar later.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
I had no authorization.
Bullshit.
My government does not like to do laundry in public.
Is there anything else we should know about?
I will not leave this country without Victor. I need cooperation.
Okay. You want to stick around and find Victor, Captain? That's fine by me. One more thing, Captain. I don't want the press to get near you. And I don't want you rolling through this town like the Red Army.
Danko sighs and leaves the office.
Have you wigged out?
Danko is the perfect weapon, Charlie. A loose cannon. If he helps us find Victor Rasta, great. If he screws up, breaks rules along the way, he's a Russian.
But what about Ridzik?
Ridzik is a good cop and a total expert at fucking up. Departmentally speaking, I got no downside here.
I have him bringing Gallagher a snitch. The guy who helped us with the bus and the clean hoods the other day.
Excuse me.
He's a sleazy shit. But if we can get him to talk, I think he can tell us who's brokering a clean ass deal.
This man visits Victor in jail?
Only two folks had that honor. A skirt named Kat Manzetti and that Russian I shot. All right, now the girl teaches dance in Wicker Park for the city. We're going to try to catch up with her later on tonight, all right? Bop this pile of shit pimping here. In this country, we try to protect the rights of individuals. It's called the Miranda Act, and it says that you can't even touch his ass.
I do not want to touch his ass. I want to make him talk.
I'm going to handle this one, okay?
The snitch's foot jiggles nervously in a black and white pimp shoe. In a suit, he's sitting smoking in an interview room.
Hey, Streak.
You can't hold me here, dickweed.
Oh, hostility.
You got nothing on me. This is all bullshit.
Hey, easy.
Where is Victor?
Hey. What the fuck are you doing? Will you be civilized? I don't know who the fuck he thinks he is. I'll have both your fucking badges for brutality.
Easy, 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 Streak. Just sit down, relax. And we want to ask you a couple questions about the clean heads. Fair price for services rendered?
He puts bills in Streak's pocket.
Capitalism works, right, Streak?
Clean heads got a monster deal going down. I told Gallagher, end of story.
He lies.
In this country, he has that God-given right.
Streak turns to Art, who wrinkles his nose and sniffs him.
Do I smell heroin?
He pulls out a bag of powder.
What's this?
Come on, man!
You bring this into the police
Wait
station?
Wait a fucking minute! You planted
that
shit!
That's disrespectful, you know that?
This is distribution way. Fucking cop setup! You're fired, asshole. You know who I got on retainer?
Clean heads deal who, when, and where.
Lawyer I got makes ACLU look like Nazis. He lives for cop misconduct like this. Probably sue you for fucking free.
Yeah?
And I ain't telling you shit!
Danko twists Streak's arm behind his back, slams him against a wall, and bends his finger.
Okay. Abdullah Lice is running the deal from Joliet. Shit's coming in a couple of days. I don't know where. Oh, swear on my balls. I don't know where.
Art stares at Danko.
Soviet method is more economical.
I'm so glad I took the time to explain to you an individual's rights.
Streak nurses his injured finger.
Streak. Sorry about that hand. You gotta watch these door jams. They're dangerous. Breaking his goddamn fingers right in front of me. You can't pull a stunt like that. You fucking ignored me.
Miranda?
Yes, Miranda.
In your country, it's okay to lie and put drug in pocket.
Okay. No, not really. Okay, maybe I was a little out of line there, all right? But I was just trying to get him to talk, that's all. I mean, I wasn't gonna prosecute the guy, for Christ's sake.
They both go too far.
Shit, all I know is Gallagher's dead, your Russian's on the loose somewhere, and I gotta show for you around all goddamn day. You know, it really sucks.
Who is Abdul Elijah?
He's got one of the biggest criminal organizations going right now.
Where can we find him?
In jail.
Miranda Law is there?
Yes, Miranda's there. Even scumbags have rights in this country, I told you.
The Soviet Union, only after 2 days can scumbag talk to lawyer.
You're shitting me.
I'm not shitting on you. We go see Abdul? Yes?
Sure. Whatever you say, Gumby. I'm your escort.
They get into Art's car.
That suit's not going to explode or anything, is it?
I think you're safe.
Just checking.
In prison.
Once I lock one of these fuckers up, the gangs take over. You got the Aryan Brotherhood, the clean heads, Muslims. Since most of these convicts are repeaters, gang leaders got connection to the outside. Bing, they're in an operation.
Cons are working out with heavy weights in an atrium surrounded by floor after floor of cells.
Clean heads playground. From now on, you're on your own.
Thanks. There he is. Abdul Elijah, sitting on his throne with his cronies. He makes them all shave their heads to prove their obedience. I guess the rules are different for the bosses.
Danko glares.
Kind of like your government, huh, Ivan? Come here, you. I want to talk to you. This is Captain Ivan Danko. He's come all the way from Russia to speak to your scoutmaster.
Well, that's nice, but who the fuck are you?
These men have no respect of our authority as police officers.
Oh, shit.
Revolutionary political leaders like myself are incarcerated to keep us quiet.
What is your political crime?
I robbed a bank. Now, let's get to it, Mr. Moscow. What is it you want?
I have Victor's key.
If that's true, then you also have Victor's money. And all you need is half a $100 bill, and you and me are in business.
I give you key, you give me Victor.
That isn't ethical.
You keep cocaine.
Oh, bad. You're trying to make me compromise my principles.
We are not like American police. You ship drugs to my country, and one morning you will wake up and find your testicles floating in jars of water next to your bed.
I'm a holy man. I got no need for testicles.
Then I settle for your eyes.
You can't threaten me, white boy.
Behind his sunglasses, Abdul's eyes are milky white.
You want to know what my crime is? My crime was being born. I'm 38 years old, and I've been locked up 26 of those. I educated myself in here, and I've come to understand that this country was built on exploiting the black man. Of course, I don't hear anything about brothers in your country. But your country exploits its own people just the same, so I guess that makes me the only Marxist around here. Right, comrade? You see, this ain't just no drug deal. This is politics, baby. This is economics. This is spiritual. I plan to sell drugs to every white man in the world. And his sister.
I still want Victor Rosta.
Yeah, real bad, I can tell.
Where can I find him?
I tell you what I am going to do, Captain. I'm going to put you two white boys together, see if you can't work this thing out. I need Victor, and he needs that key. And you. You're just another motherfucker we're going to have to deal with. Be cool.
Abdul lingers a moment in front of Danko, then moves away. Art's car speeds downtown.
Okay, so tell me, how did it go?
Fine.
Fine. All right, you want to cut this shit? You were talking to that jazz bull so long, I thought about having my head shaved.
Could be a good idea.
What's that?
My watch. It's on Moscow time.
Time to pick up Pokey?
Time to feed Barakid.
What's that, Russian for jerking off?
Danko stares at Art expressionlessly.
I guess not.
What's wrong with Barakid?
Nothing. I didn't say anything's wrong with Barakid. My kid's sister used to have a parakeet. You want a parakeet? It's okay with me. I don't give a shit.
Do you think that parakeet is feminine?
Did I say that? I didn't say that, did I? What the hell do I know? I guess it's okay. Christ, it's fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A dance studio.
Oh, in fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay.
Choreography finishes on a pose. The teacher notices Danko and Art by the doors. The dance teacher lights a cigarette. Danko and Art approach.
You mind showing me some ID? I'd like to know who I'm talking to.
Ridzik, Arthur, Detective Sergeant. This is Captain Danko. He's from Moscow. Now, look, you went to see Viktor Rosta in jail. What are you talking about?
The weather, taxes.
So did you meet him hanging around a hotel bar? Oh, you probably worked the lobbies, right?
Fuck you.
I don't think you have a headache and good taste.
I don't have to listen to this shit.
Danko grabs her wrist.
It's very important. Many people could be hurt.
Dancer Cat stares up at Danko.
Oh, shit. It's really no big deal. He told me to go to the Garvin, get his old room, told me exactly where to look. It was just a passport and this $100 bill torn in half. I gave the stuff to a friend of Victor's. I don't even know his name.
Cut the shit, will you? Just tell me where he's at.
I don't know.
You got a phone number?
I lost it.
Look, this Victor's a very bad guy.
Really?
Yeah, really. A cop died because of him.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you know anything about 11th and State? Maybe I'll take you down there and book you for accessory to murder.
Are you trying to scare me?
No, I'm just trying to figure out why you're trying to help him.
He's my husband.
Cat grins at Art and walks out past Danko.
I'm gonna bust that bitch so hard she bounces.
Wait. You can use her to find Victor.
Well, you got all the ideas. Maybe I'll just go home and whack off. You know, watch a little crime stories, get some tips.
Victor uses fake name Mary's American to get travel visa to the United States.
All right. Why do I get the feeling that you're taking it so personal?
Shot his brother 6 months ago in Moscow.
Shot him dead?
Yes.
Way to go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
From a window behind the dance studio's neon sign, Cat watches the pair cross an intersection after dark. They stop, and Danko points in her direction.
All right, why don't we stake it out? You go in the car, I'll go get us something to eat. Don't worry, I'll get you something healthy, something from all four food groups. Hamburger, French fries, coffee, and donuts.
Wait.
What, you don't like onions?
Give me key to car.
It's unlocked.
In case she leave.
Oh, no, no, no. You can't drive that car. That's against regulations. What if you crash it? That means I gotta fill out reports until I retire.
Key.
Art makes a face, but reaches into his pocket.
All right. But honk if you see something.
Danko crosses the street to the car, and Art walks off around a corner. Cat puts a coin in a payphone and makes a call. Danko examines the key and a serial number engraved on it. He writes it on a napkin, G1847. Danko glances up toward the dance studio.
Hey, asshole! You can't park here. This is my parking place. I live right up there. So move your piece of shit car that lot now or give me $50.
I do not understand.
Let me make it real simple, moron. You move your ass or you give me 50, or I take my Pete Rose here and fucking mutilate your car.
Do you know Miranda?
Never heard of the bitch.
He grins and shakes his head.
Holy Ghani.
Art returns with their food and ignores the street guy, out cold with his baseball bat beside him. He gets in the car, putting the food and drinks on the dash.
okay?
Yes, fine. No problems.
What about that sack of shit laying on the sidewalk?
He lives here.
Art grins.
You're a real beaut, you know that? I call it squad room. Guess what? Tomovich, you know that bastard they shot? Well, he's pulling out of his coma at the hospital. Why don't we just go over there and interrogate him, bag this shit?
Here she is.
Cat arrives out on the street and gets in a cab.
Now we go.
Wait! Oh, shit! God damn it! Jesus Christ, they just burned off my dead! Ah, God! Jesus! Look at the mess I made, damn it! Now I gotta wash the car, just wrecked the goddamn suit, and I hardballed my nuts. It's gonna look like I pissed in my pants all goddamn night. Hey, careful with the driving, will ya? I don't want any accidents. I have to fill out paperwork for the rest of my life.
I have car under control.
Yeah, sure. I suppose they taught you everything you need to know about car wrecks and the price of insurance in your famous school in Kiev.
Socialist countries, insurance not necessary. State pays for everything.
Yeah. Well, tell me something, Captain. If you got such a fucking paradise over there, how come you're up the same creek as we are with heroin and cocaine?
Chinese find way. Right after the revolution, they line up all drug dealers, all drug addicts, take them to public square, and shoot them in back of head.
Eh, never work here. Fucking politicians wouldn't go for it.
Shoot them first.
In the taxi, Kat glances over her shoulder and notices the tail.
Christ, they're right behind us.
That's the general idea.
The taxi driver is a clean head. He turns into a parking garage. Danko follows. Two cars weave through the garage until the taxi stops and Kat gets out. She glances toward our sedan. A Suburban stops behind the car. Shaven-headed armed men get out.
Look at this, man. We have a pro basketball team heading toward us with guns.
Portis.
What's this?
It's Victor's key. Okay. Put gun away.
Are you nuts?
Kat walks toward them. Art and Danko get out of the car. Danko standing stiffly, with his hands clasped in front of him. Kat's driver joins the armed gang.
I'm supposed to tell you that this is a truce arranged by somebody named Abdul. You leave your guns with those guys over there.
No way. Chicago cop never relinquishes his weapon.
The driver who met Victor at the phone box walks up to the cops.
You got the key?
Well, am I glad we hid that key. Good thing we didn't bring it with us. We'd really be in deep shit.
Don't waste your time. Where is Victor?
We got everything under control.
Well, good. I'll be the translator.
You got a job. You're the hostage.
I'm out of here. I've had enough of this macho shit.
Great, thank you. I'm glad you could help.
Hey, I'm sorry, but this whole thing is way past me.
Honey, I understand, really.
The clean head is holding Art's gun to Art's head.
Go see Victor. He's down that ramp over there. You get out of hand, your friend here gonna be gone.
Hear that? Hmm? Prick.
Danko strides off to an empty part of the garage. He walks up to Victor in the hazy half-light. Victor grins. Greetings, comrade. We meet in strange places. Kat leaves the parking garage and goes up to Victor's blonde friend waiting in a car.
I don't like being used as bait. I thought Victor wanted to see me.
Victor wants you to get in the car.
Cat gets in, and the car drives off beneath an L-train line.
If they let me have my gun, you would be already dead. Cigaretta?
Danko stares coldly. Victor lights up.
The people have many needs. One is law and order, other, entertainment. We both have our codes, Vanya. Yours, one of the state. Mine, one of thieves. We both respect courage. We even hold our own lives in contempt.
You have contempt for our life.
You don't, huh?
You killed my friend.
You killed my brother.
Your brother was criminal.
A dead man is a dead man. After 70 years, the doors begin to open in Moscow. The first taste of freedom will be cut with cocaine. Any country that can survive Stalin can certainly handle a little dope. I think you should come off your high horse, Capitan, and start to talk business. You have my key. I need it quite badly. I'm willing to pay for it generously, more than you can make in 10 years.
I do not sell drugs.
The two men stare fiercely at each other.
Foolish. You are so foolish.
He drops his cigarette and grinds it under his shoe.
I thought you might be more reasonable. Money has a way of doing that to a man. I don't think so. Not with you. You are one of those kinds of Soviets that only look forward to death. I know you well, Vanya. Without me, you don't even exist.
Victor turns and walks away. Danko watches expressionlessly. Art's car speeds out of the garage.
Give a shit if they did give us the fucking guns back. These are the motherfuckers that killed Gallagher. You know that? And you call yourself a fucking cop. You know, in this country, we trust our partners. We don't hold back from our partners. And we never leave our partners holding their dicks in their hands while some bald motherfucker's got a gun in his ear. Here, take this goddamn key. Take it!
Now we go to the hospital to question Tadamovich.
You are a shithead!
They arrive at the hospital.
We're here to see Tadamovich.
Yeah, I got him right over here.
No, this is not part of our deal. I've had...
In a payphone, Kat stares at the two cops and leaves the booth. A finger presses a mute button, and all alarms off appears on the monitor, showing Tadamovich his vital signs. His eyes open, and a needle is stuck in his arm. The nurse is Victor's blonde friend in a wig. Tatamovich's readings flatline. Through the window, Danko sees the fake nurse with the patient.
What is his condition?
Well, he started coming around about an hour or so ago, you know, mumbling something in Russian. They got a nurse in there with him right now.
Any visitors from downtown?
Not so far, but they're on the way.
Yeah, you better wait for Stobbs and Donnelly. Ernie, let's get some coffee.
Sure, okay.
Art makes a jerk-off gesture. Danko bumps into the fake nurse.
Pardon me.
Pardon me? Check it out. I knew I should have been a doctor.
Hey. This area is restricted.
Art flashes his badge.
Hey, buddy. Hey, shithead. You talk to him, you speak his language.
Tadamovich.
Amnushna Bogavarits. Come on, scumbag, don't play dead.
The fake nurse passes the room and looks in. Art checks the Russian's pulse and looks up at the monitors.
The nurse.
They run out of the room and look up and down the hallway.
Hey!
The fake nurse looks around and runs. Art and Danko give chase. Danko knocks over a nurse's trolley and the fake nurse collides with a woman. Art and Danko pause, then split up. The nurse bursts through double doors with Art in hot pursuit, then plunges down an escalator. Art slides down the handrail and draws his gun.
God damn it, ladies! Police! Stop! God damn it, I'll shoot!
Don't! Don't shoot!
What the fuck are you doing here?
Put it down, are you crazy?
Move! God damn it!
Put it down!
God damn it! Move!
No!
Art dives over a medicine cart.
Don't! Stop it! You!
Blood splashes the fake nurse's face and the guy is blown backwards as Danko shoots. He crashes into a glass-fronted notice board and the wig comes off. He tries to fire again, but Danko's powerful gun blows him backwards out of glass doors. Kat runs off, and Danko chases after her. She runs down a stairway. Danko pauses at the top. Art gets to his feet and is faced by shocked hospital staff. A woman in scrubs steps forward. Art checks the fake nurse's pulse. His eyes are wide and staring.
What the hell? There's a guy.
Kat reaches the bottom of the stairs and runs into a locked chain-link gate. She tries another exit, also locked. Danko cocks his gun.
You are stupid.
I never meant for any of this.
Victor has 10 women like you at home. You're dead or in prison.
What am I supposed to do?
Danko shoots the padlock off the exit door, then kicks it open.
Go! Go!
Kat runs off into a loading bay.
I just don't see how she can disappear into thin air. You checked the back stairs.
Yes.
No sign of her.
Yes.
She just got away.
Yes.
Nice work, Gumby.
Thank you.
I didn't mean that.
I know.
You got a shit house in Russia?
Yes.
Well, we got one here, and you and I are standing right in it. And it's not only going to hit the fan, it's going to go right through the ceiling. Watch it, lady, okay? I don't know why you're insisting on this tetanus shot. I had one 14 years ago. Easy!
He's injected in the butt.
Oh, shit. Bitch. What's in that, cement?
Donnelly bursts in.
All right, what's the score, Ritzik?
Shit, it's been a hell of a night, Commander. First of all, some cleanhead stuck his damn gun in my ear. And Danko here shot a drag queen.
I've always enjoyed your reports, Ritzik. I'm especially going to enjoy the one where you detail your cross-examination of Gallagher's informant.
Streak?
According to his lawyer, you tried to break his hand.
What?
And he's now filing a criminal and civil suit against the department.
Oh, well, it's bullshit. We can beat that rap. He got his hand stuck in the door. Danko was there, he'll tell you.
Listen, the story is after silencing the alarm button on the EKG monitor, El Transvesto killed Tatamovich by shooting an air bubble into a vein. He obviously didn't want us to question him.
Victor did not want me to question him.
The drag queen belongs to Victor?
Yes. He killed his own man. He knew I would get information from the Domovich. He thinks it's better to kill him.
Well, did you get to his wife, this Manzetti woman? We've been trying to track her down all night long.
Danko shakes his head.
No, we don't have shit.
Donnelly looks suspicious and goes up to Danko.
Tell me, Captain, where did you get the gun you used?
Registered 99. Moscow Militia Headquarters.
Ridzik.
Yeah.
He did not know about gun.
Under the circumstances, I'm going to have to ask for your weapon.
And I say no.
I see Ridzik is teaching you a sense of humor. Your gun, Captain. Now. Don't fuck with me.
Danko stares expressionlessly at the chief. He reaches inside his suit and hands over the gun, then walks off as Donnelly examines the piece.
Sergeant, I need to see paperwork on this whole incident by 10 o'clock this morning. Every move you and Danko have made.
You'll have it.
Where did you put the witnesses?
Got them right down the hall, sir.
I need other gun.
Get away from me, man. Just get away from me. I can't deal with that. Look, we got no leads, pal. We're batting fucking zero. Don't even look at me like that. It's not happening. I mean, I give you a gun, my ass is grass, you understand? Donnelly wants me for dog meat, so forget it. Just get in the car and relax.
They get in with Art in the driver's seat.
We have many men like Commander Donnelly in Soviet Union. I understand him. He's like KGB.
Art sighs, then reaches into the glove compartment.
All right, goddammit.
There's a revolver inside.
All right, I owe you one, because you saved my life tonight. Here. Captain Danko, you are now the proud owner of the most powerful handgun in the world.
Soviet Butterin 9.2 millimeter is world's most powerful handgun.
Come on, everyone knows the Magnum 44 is the big boy in the black. Why do you think Dirty Harry uses it?
Danko frowns and glances at Art.
Who is Dirty Harry?
A record plays on a jukebox in a diner.
Well, you got your sight report, your preliminary report, you got your accident report, you got a questionnaire from the coroner to fill out. Just be typed in triplicate.
How are you two fellas doing?
Great. Just had my ass jammed to the horse needle.
Poor baby.
Look, lady, I just got my coffee the perfect color. It's the only thing I got going for me tonight.
The waitress walks off, dejected.
You married? I'm just curious. I mean, we aren't working together.
No.
Ever?
No.
You got a girlfriend?
No.
Ever?
Of course.
Great. How about your dad? What was he, a cop?
Army. Dead 11 years.
How about your ma?
Nurse. Died when I was young.
Grandparents?
Killed in war against Nazis.
Danko eats a fry.
Pretty fucking grim. You got any brothers or sisters?
No. You?
Oh, yeah, I got one sister, divorced. Parents are both dead. Dad was a cop. Real good cop. I guess you and I won't spend a lot of time Christmas shopping this year, huh?
Danko glances at Art, then eats another fry.
You don't like talking about this stuff, do you? I didn't think so. Yo, sweet cheeks. While we're young, huh?
The waitress pours with a sullen expression.
Tea, please.
In a glass with lemon. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw Dr. Zhivago.
Danko smiles. Lightning flickers across the night sky as an L train arrives at a station. Art and Danko arrive back at Danko's hotel.
All right, look, I'm gonna go back to the station house. You catch a couple Z's and take a shower, will you? We'll get back to it in a couple hours.
The clerk is slumped across the reception desk. He wakes up as Danko hits the desk.
Hey, you're all wet.
Messages.
Just trying to be friendly. Oh, yeah, you got a whole mess of them here. All from the same honey, too. Been calling every 10 minutes last hour.
Danko goes behind the desk and picks up the phone.
Hey, buddy, I got an idea. Why don't you just use my phone, okay? Just make sure it's a local, will you?
Kat's in a phone booth in the pouring rain, smoking.
Yeah.
This is Danko.
Yeah, look, I can't be in the middle of this. If Victor finds out, you guys gotta promise me that you'll protect me. Look, the drugs are coming in tonight. I give you Victor, you let me walk.
I do not understand.
You know exactly what I mean. You get Victor, I go free. You understand freedom? Look, I just want my life back. The city pays me $5.84 an hour to teach kids to dance. They hope won't turn into junkies. Victor gives me $10,000 just to marry him. You figure it out. Look, he's gonna contact me. I find out when and where this big drug deal's going down. I tell you guys.
Why would he tell you?
He trusts me. I'm his wife. Come on, Vanko. Don't just breathe at me.
I get Victor.
I promise I do what I can to help.
Kat lowers the phone, then hangs up. Danko also hangs up. At the police station, Audrey, typing on a computer, glances into the squad room. Art's doing paperwork at his desk. Art puts his foot up on the desk, and Audrey comes out of her office. She slaps a folder on Art's desk.
Come on, what's bugging you?
What do you think?
Check your messages, Art. Your phone's been driving me crazy.
A red light is blinking on his answering machine.
Rizzi, Nelligan here. Listen, that 5-6 to report. Please get it done tonight. It's got to be in by morning.
Yo, Art, this is Pat, your millionaire brother-in-law. Yo, hey, pay attention to me.
This alimony business with your sister is getting out of hand. We gotta talk. I'll be at the key shop later tonight.
Danko examines the locker key and notices a dead bulb in the light fitting hanging from the ceiling. Cleanheads are lined up behind Victor, who's watching Danko through binoculars. Rain pours down, giving a hazy view of Danko, moving behind the old damaged blinds on his window. Danko hides the key in the light fitting. Victor lowers the binoculars. He leads the cleanheads across the street to the hotel. The clerk is checking messages. He looks up as the thugs enter.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Hey, you want your old broom back?
Victor approaches menacingly. He runs a gloved finger down the names on the register. He finds Danko's name and runs his finger across to the room number. 303. He punches the clerk in the face, then pounds his head on the desk. Blood stains the register and the clerk collapses. Victor leads the way upstairs. Danko's in the shower. Danko takes a long, deep breath with his eyes closed. In another room, a naked young woman lights up a cigarette.
Your Honor, this is the case of Antonello versus Antonello. Ben Antonello is a 27-year-old...
She's watching Judge Jennifer Lewis. Victor and his goons approach down the hallway.
What that does, Ben keeps pulling it up, and she has to keep pushing it down.
302.
The goons gather around the door and draw their weapons. Victor goes out into the stairwell with a cigarette.
Shop full-time then?
As a matter of fact, I do.
The clean heads burst into the woman's room.
Where is he?
Extra security line,
right? The F room.
I need you to put
Danko, putting on his watch, looks up, hearing the shots. A bloodied man crashes through the bathroom door in 302.
Wrong guy. Victor set us up!
Victor hides in the stairwell as Danko moves down the hallway with the Magnum at the ready. Victor comes out of hiding, goes down the hallway, and into room 303. Danko opens the door to another hallway and spots the clean heads.
It's him!
Danko ducks into cover, then returns fire, taking out two clean heads. Victor smashes the light fitting, and the key drops to the floor. He picks it up. Victor smiles. Danko looks into 302 and sees the bullet-riddled body on the bathroom floor. A clean head appears behind him, reflected in the mirror. Danko blows the man across the room. The naked woman grabs a gun from her purse and rolls out of bed, covering herself with a sheet. Danko moves on. Another clean head waits in ambush. Danko scans the room. Danko makes a move, but the clean head gets behind him. The clean head's about to shoot, but gets hit by the woman. Danko turns the Magnum on her.
No, not me. I'm not with them. I don't know anything about this shit. I just want to get out of here.
How many more?
I don't know. They just came in and blew my trick away. I don't know anything about this.
Victor.
Hey, wait a minute!
She hurriedly dresses and Danko leaves. Victor cocks two guns. Danko moves back toward his room, followed by the woman.
Please. What is this all about?
Danko looks around the corner.
Hey, where are you going? You're gonna start shooting again, are you?
Danko opens a door. Victor reacts, seeing the door as he waits in ambush in the bathroom. Danko pauses.
What are you gonna do? Let's get out of here! Oh, God.
Danko goes to another door. Victor looks around as Danko's watch alarm goes off.
Oh, God.
Danko throws himself on the floor as Victor blasts the door Danko is standing behind. Victor charges out in the hallway. He and Danko exchange fire with the hooker caught in the middle. She doesn't get hit. Victor runs. Danko follows him. Victor dives out of a window, several floors up. Victor lands in the river. Cameras flash, taking photos of the dead clean heads and the naked man in the bathroom.
I don't get any on your shoes.
You tell me who the hell's gonna explain this to my boss, huh? That third floor looks like Beirut. He's gonna sit bricks when he sees this. Who's gonna back me up when I tell him that it's not my fault, huh? City of Chicago, you cops. You know, somebody's gonna have to pay for all this stuff, and there sure as hell isn't gonna be that fucking bastard commie Russian.
I'm just here to get your
statement. I don't know. I don't know about anything. Everybody just started shooting.
Where'd you get the gun?
In my purse. I don't know nothing about any of this.
You carry a gun in your purse?
Around here, everybody's got a gun. You meet a lot of weirdos.
Donnelly's with Charlie.
How many more upstairs? Three. Yeah, there's only one thing that's clear to me about this whole damn case.
Yeah.
That Russian bastard is still holding out on us.
A young woman found in the Chicago River tonight as a Catherine Cat Manzetti. The victim was a dance instructor. Employed at Wicker Park.
Victor picks up the key, ripped $100 bill and a passport. He fits a suppressor to a gun and clips it into the spring mechanism on his wrist.
The cause of death has not been determined, but foul play has not been ruled out. Thus far, investigators are refusing to comment on the incident.
Ms. Manzetti was identified by police records. In 1986, she was charged with prostitution.
Victor shoots the TV.
It's Victor's wife. Cat Manzetti, we fished her out of the river about an hour ago. Preliminary med path indicates a broken neck, strangulation, the works.
Donnelly and Charlie move away to confer.
I want an autopsy right away. If I talk to either of them right now, I'm going to get a heart attack.
Bring them both in, shut them down, the end. I'll interview Danko at my office later. I want some debriefing. I was very wrong about the downside.
Donnelly leaves. Danko and Art stare down at Kat's body.
Donnelly says you're riding a desk starting now. We're sending you back behind the curtain where you belong.
Charlie smiles and walks away, shaking his head.
Eat shit.
Excuse me?
See you at the office.
Art stares furiously at Charlie as he leaves. In the car...
Stupid goddamn fucking Russians! Don't take that personal, Danko. I didn't mean you. I'm talking about Victor. Except Victor's not stupid, because he's got the key.
They speed through the nighttime traffic. Keys hang on hooks.
Okay, Art, if you and your foreign friend want to goose step back here, we can talk.
Are these the books?
Yeah, they're in alphabetical order and they're in English. Is that a problem for you?
Hey, take a walk, will you?
So what'd you do, Art? Lock one of your girlfriends up in the patrol car?
Take a greedy little sister and stop calling me.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a friendly little tip, Pat. You pay your alimony on time and she'll leave you alone.
She said it was your idea to go back to court.
Yeah.
Well, she can take me back to court, because I don't have any more money, okay? We both agreed to the payments. Why can't she live with it?
Very simple, Pat. Your May check arrived July 9th and bounced like a super ball.
Well, maybe I'm doing too much free work for the police department, huh?
Yeah, maybe we should have a pity party for Pat.
Don't start with that, Art. Hey, come on, talk to her. She'll listen to you.
She don't listen to me. I told her not to marry you in the first place. I offered her money not to marry you.
Oh, yeah? Well, I gave her the best 6 months of my life.
But you know what you are? You're cheap, man. You hurt her, and you owe her money.
Yeah, I don't have to listen to
and
this,
you
okay?
should pay up.
I don't have to listen
You're
to this.
You're a sleazebag.
Get
you
out of my
that?
Face, onion breath.
I don't
if I wanted to fight, I'd
got.
Still be married.
Hey, you pay her!
Danko looks up the type of key in a reference book. He checks the serial number. American Liberty Line bus terminal pay lockers.
Find anything?
Danko glances at Art and snaps the book shut. A Liberty Line bus drives past a brightly lit up depot with a coffee shop called Mammy's. The clean head in the beret is sipping a coffee. Victor arrives beside him.
Coffee.
Victor places the key on the counter. The cleanhead picks it up. He opens a locker and retrieves a large suitcase.
Tucks the torn bill.
He glances across at a couple of cops. Victor tucks the torn bill into a wad and peels off a clean $1.
Thank you.
As Victor pays for his coffee, the cleanhead takes his suitcase to the men's restroom. He opens it up. It's full of cash. He reaches toward the bundles of notes. Victor comes in. The cleanhead looks startled.
Sure. The stuff's coming in on the 9:30 from El Paso. Check it out.
I trust you.
Spread it all over Siberia, right, man?
Victor's spring gun flips out of his sleeve and he shoots the cleanhead. He falls into a stall and drops a bundle of bills. Art pulls over on a neon-lit street. Danko checks his watch. It's coming up on 4:30.
All right, let's go in. Wait a minute. Now look, I know you really want this guy, but this is a Chicago police matter. You go in the front and work your way to the rear, I'm gonna cover the back, and don't try to be a hero. You dig?
Danko stares.
You dig? Capisce? You understand? Dig? What, did he teach you that in Kiev?
I'm not on holiday here.
Then let's go.
They get out of the car. Victor walks along slowly with the suitcase. He places it on a cart with other baggage to be loaded on a bus. A guy in a white suit's leaning on a lamppost smoking. Victor checks his watch.
Excuse me. You got change for $100 bill?
The guy blows smoke through his nose and produces a torn bill.
The smallest I have.
Victor produces his torn bill, and the guy matches the two halves.
Your merchandise is in the luggage trunks.
Danko arrives at the bus depot and looks around the quiet concourse. trunks and the suitcase are loaded onto the bus. Danko moves past the lockers and out through glass doors. He bumps into a guy.
Hey!
Victor stands in the middle of the street as the bus drives off behind him. He turns to find himself staring at Danko.
You did not make it, Victor.
Art arrives.
Back off, Captain. He killed a Chicago police officer. Chicago gets him first.
I have my orders.
Are you fucking nuts?
Danko aims at Art.
All right, come on. Get real, Danko. Look, we're doing good things here. We'll take a move!
A woman steps out. Victor opens fire, then runs off. Art and Danko search between the parked buses. Danko moves around a bus, then flattens himself against the side as another speeds toward him. The door opens, knocking him down. The bus smashes into a parked car. Danko fires and rounds spark off the bus, which T-bones a car at an intersection. Another bus drives up. Danko runs in front of it and waves his arms. The driver stops and opens the door.
I'm not leaving yet, mister. Wait a minute!
Danko throws the driver off the bus and gets behind the wheel.
Hey!
Art sprints and clambers on board.
Get in. What are you gonna do, leave without me?
Danko knocks over a mailbox and a newsstand.
Where did you learn to drive a bus anyway?
Kiev, Yarmir.
Jesus, we're going down the wrong way street. Get over on the other side of the street. Danko! Danko, you're not listening to me! Right! Go to the right!
Danko swerves through the oncoming traffic, then smashes through an ornamental fountain.
Way to go! That was a fucking Chicago landmark!
Victor glances in his rearview mirror, then hauls the wheel over, steering the bus across an intersection of tram lines. A car hits it, and another goes into a skid. Victor swerves through the traffic with Danko still on his tail.
Where the hell are the cops? Damn, they're never around when you need one, you know that? You make a U-turn and they're all over your ass. Where the fuck are they?
They speed beneath L-train lines. In a low tunnel, Victor's bus smashes hanging lamps, then through parking meters, and takes out a parked car.
Watch it! Watch it!
Danko smashes through a car. Victor mows down more parking meters and smashes more cars. Victor smashes through the glass atrium of a post office. He makes a hard left towards a rail crossing and an approaching train. Victor manages to stop, then reverses and turns around. He smiles grimly as Danko and Art approach and stop their bus. Danko and Victor eyeball each other. Victor grimaces and floors the accelerator. Danko does the same.
Shit, you know what we call this? This is called chicken. But you're not supposed to play with buses.
This is no game.
No shit! You ready to swerve?
Art grabs the wheel and the bus swerves. It jumps a freight car in a shower of sparks and lands on its side. A freight train slams into the side of Victor's bus and pushes it along the tracks before grinding to a halt. As a wheel spins free, Danko punches out a window and climbs out of the bus with a bloody forehead. Engineer yells at Victor, who's covered in blood. He shoots the engineer. Danko checks the cylinder of the Magnum, then flicks it back into place.
I take care of this.
Art glances at Danko, who returns an icy look.
I give up. This whole thing's very Russian.
Danko strides off.
Hey, Gumby. Honk if you need me.
Danko advances through swirling steam from the train. Victor stands waiting by the bus. The two enemies stare bloodily at each other. Victor raises his spring gun. The Magnum's heavy slug slammed Victor back into the bus. Victor slides bloodily down the side of the bus. Art walks up to Danko.
Did you get him? Nice grouping of your shots.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I still like Soviet model better.
Danko hands over the Magnum.
Got a real attitude problem, Danko.
Danko goes up to Victor and stares coldly at the corpse. Daytime, at a KLM 747 taxis to a terminal. The departures board shows a flight to Moscow at 3:15. There's a baseball game on TV. Art and Danko are watching.
Hi, left center.
I do not understand this sport.
You're not supposed to. It's totally American. You should stick to things that you're good at. You know, like knee dancing, training those cute little bears for the circus.
We play baseball now in the Soviet Union.
Oh, come on. Give me a break, will you? You haven't got a shot. This is our national pastime. Forget it. Yeah, it'd be a hell of a World Series, though, wouldn't it?
We will win.
On TV, the hitter slides to a base.
Hey, Danko. Listen, I've been wanting to ask you something. Remember we were back at the bus station? Both of us had Victor. And you turned and pointed the gun at me. You weren't gonna really shoot me, were you?
Danko looks Art up and down, then shrugs.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Just checking.
Art grins and shakes his head.
It is custom in Soviet Union to exchange article, a souvenir, for friendship. I decide to give you this.
His watch.
That's really nice. Here, why don't you have my watch? This here is $1,000 marvel of Western technology. I got a discount from my cousin.
Art stares at the watch he just handed over.
Thanks. This is really a $20 East German watch.
Danko gets up to go.
Thank you.
Ritzik. You're police officers, not politicians. It's okay to like each other. Удачи, Чибия. До свидания.
Sorry, my Russian's a little rusty.
They shake hands.
Good luck. Farewell.
Looking him straight in the eye, Danko pats Art on the shoulder. Art watches as Danko strides toward the departure gate. Danko looks back and salutes. He salutes on Red Square. This film is dedicated to the memory of Benny Dobbins. Danko slow marches off. Yvonne Danko, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Art Rydzik, James Belushi. Lou Donnelly, Peter Boyle. Victor Rostavilli, Edo Ross. Lieutenant Stobbs, Larry Fishburne. Cap Manzetti, Gina Gershon. Sergeant Gallagher, Richard Bright. Salim J.W. Smith, Abdul Elijah Brent Jennings. Hooker, Gretchen Palmer. Night Clerk, Pruitt Taylor Vince. Pat Nunn, Michael Haggerty. Streak, Brian James. Intern, Gloria Delaney. TV announcer, Peter Jason. Yuri Ogarkov, Oleg Vidov. Gregor Mazursky, Savely Kramarov. Consul Stepanovich, Gene Scherer. Josip Baroda, Tengiz Borisov. Pyotr Tutamovich, Roger Gallard. Vagran Rostavili, Gabor Konch. Colonel Kulikov, Geza Balkay. Lieutenant Radetsky, Zolt Kortvilyesi. Officer Janos Ban. Mongol Hippie, Mansonori Taguchi. Nikolai, Sven Ole Torsen. Sasha, Norbert Noveni. Yegor, Istvan Etlenyi. Piano player, George Gatti. Waiter, Peter Marikovsky. Gangsters, Gabor Nemeth, Istvan Vyas, Peter Kiss, Attila Fazi. Copyright 1988, Carol Co. Pictures Incorporated, United States and Canada, and Carol Co. International, NV, all other countries. All rights reserved. The persons and events portrayed in this production are fictitious. No similarity to actual persons living or dead is intended or should be inferred. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or reproduction of this motion picture or videotape, or any part thereof, including soundtrack, may result in severe civil and criminal penalties. Further credits continue to roll.